I'm really excited, as always, about the Word. I'm excited to just look at it with you. So let's open it up to where we ended up last week. And we were in John 10:10 is where we started. For those of us joining us online, welcome. Good to see you guys. I know some of us are at home. Some of us are even in the hospital again. So we're just praying for you guys. But in John 10:10, and this would be in page 759, if you have your pew Bible out from under the table there, under the chair in front of you, pull that out. But we want to encourage you to bring your Bible. I saw some young men this morning walking in with their Bibles. I thought, praise God, that looks good. Awesome. We had some visitors last week from Smithers. They brought their Bible. Good job, Dad. Awesome. So page 759, that's not in my Bible, but we're going to be somewhere around there, John 10:10. And we looked at the idea that it says here, it says that the thief comes only to kill or to steal, kill, and destroy. But where we spent our time was on this thought: I have come that they may have life and life to the fullest. So we unpacked that last week. It was brilliant. But let's go back to the first part and just unpack that a little bit. Because when you learn something or you hear something or God's speaking the same, you keep hearing it again and again. You're like, oh, my ears are tweaking. You know, my radio signal is tuned in because God's speaking here. And then when Pete came up and was leading the worship and just gave a little devo before he started, like it was a prophetic word because he didn't know what I was going to preach on. And boom, he talked about something. I'm just really excited about that. It says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? Now, if you just nudge your neighbor, say, I know the answer to that. When I unpack it a little bit with you, then nudge your neighbor, say, I actually didn't know that. You know, like, yes, it is the devil. We could claim that. But there's also some other ways that it could be. Not that there's multiple interpretations of the Bible. It's not what we're saying. But sometimes it's all-encompassing to many facets in a sense of, like, what could be killing and stealing and destroying things. So we have to look at the context with it. And I just heard it this week, you know, as I listened to it, and then Omni and the students went downstairs on Wednesday, and they unpacked this idea, and I thought, dude, I have to share that with somebody because it's so good. So John 10 is where we're landing. If we went back, it's always good, important to just read because there's never chapters and verses when the Bible is written. It's all nice there for us. But we go back to John 9, we would see that Jesus heals a man born blind. And then the religious leaders, they wanted to shut that up. They want to destroy what had just been happening. They want to just silence the things that have been happening. If we went past John 10, we would see in John 11, we would see that there's this death of Lazarus, and Jesus comes and heals him and raises from the dead. And the religious leaders and those people were just like, shh, quiet, that didn't happen. We don't believe in that. They wanted to destroy what had just happened that God was doing. We see in John 12, Jesus predicts his own death. He's saying that I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again. And then the religious leaders are like, that's not good. We got to destroy that thinking. We got to kill Jesus. We got to shut him up. And so when we read this, look at some of the context here. I just hope your eyes are illuminated when we read it together. So John 10, let's go back just a couple verses. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth that I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were, listen to those words, thieves and robbers. All of these people that came before me were misleading people, trying to destroy them, trying to lead them the wrong way, but the sheep did not listen to them. Because I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Almost as Amelie was reading scripture this morning. He will come in and go out and find pasture, but the thief comes only to, who is the thief again? We know that Satan is the thief. We know the devil's a thief. But even those that have gone before and misled people, try to direct them in the wrong way, as we just read there, thieves and robbers. And we could even put in there, now I'm going to say something because I'm speaking to myself here. I'm really challenging myself this year. As you can see, I'm a little bit passionate about certain things. So as I learn and glean things, I want to share them with you. Now, when I say it might be strong, Pastor Rob is not strong in a good day, you know, in a sense of like his words of like conviction, like you're going to leave it here, you're going to hear the word, you know. I will try and be, you know, as loving and gentle as I can as always, but you could even put in their leadership, that leadership can kill and destroy and mislead people when they do foolish and stupid things. And we can all attest to that. We can all turn the internet on and find all kinds of leaders that have misguided people. Like thieves, we misuse our power and our authority for trying to get across our purposes and our wills versus God's will. Man, we got to keep people pointed towards Jesus and Jesus only and Jesus alone and God. not my agenda. That would be foolishness, wouldn't it? Let's go back now into the Old Testament and find a story, unfortunately, of a leader. Almost every leader in the Bible besides Jesus has blown it, but let's go back to one of the very first leaders. This would be in your pew Bible in 195, and this is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 8 is where we'll land. We'll start, and then we'll unpack just a little bit more there. So 1 Samuel chapter 8. So we're just going to give a little bit of a recap. I won't read it all, but you can read it later. So it says here, if we were to learn about leadership principles and things that we do foolishly or wrong, we'll look at three things from this leader. This leader was the first leader of the Israelite people in the Old Testament, and he did some foolish things. About what did he do for his own benefit? Have you ever done that in life? You're like, well, if I do this, I'm going to benefit from that. If I use this Visa card, I'm going to benefit from the points of it. Like, that's just reality. That's a good, I'm not saying that's wrong. I do it. Is that wrong? I'm sorry. Maybe I am wrong. But, you know, some foolish things for my own benefit. I'm going to do this because I want to benefit. Sometimes we overstep our calling, our purpose. We think we can handle it all. We'll do it all ourselves. Or exercising authority or power carelessly. We just kind of like willy-nilly, like blah. Just make up ideas and throw people off and point them in the wrong direction. Okay, so we see this individual in the Old Testament. So we're in Samuel. He's anointed Saul to be king. And it says here in chapter 8, he says that God is saying, I will just be your, Yahweh will be your king, and let me lead and guide you. And the people are like, oh, we just want a king. We want somebody we can physically see that could lead and guide us. And God's like, I'm telling you, if you do that, read in chapter 8 later for homework. It will say things like this. That leader will take your sons and daughters. That leader will take your best fields and your vineyards and your olive groves. He's going to take your male and female servants. He's going to take 1/10 of all of your flocks. Do you want a leader like that? And they're like, oh yeah. Yeah, we want a physical, earthly leader that we could follow. And God's like, if you want that, go ahead. And what we see in that word about, like, do you want somebody to lead you and that they will take something from you? If you want to go there, go ahead. But if we were just to go a whole chapter ahead, this would be 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4. It says this, another leader that they was overseeing God's people, David, King David, said this. Then David sent messengers to get her or to take her. She came to him and he slept with her, Bathsheba. This guy, King David, is up there up in his kingdom, just like, well, I'm great and mighty. And then he looked down at this nice-looking girl down there. He said, go get her. I want that. She was married to somebody else, but he said, I'm going to take that. And sometimes kings, sometimes leaders, sometimes rulers, and even sometimes pastors do and take things that they should not take. And it cripples people. And when we see in Scripture, and I'm convicting myself. You don't have to feel this. I feel this. Every time a leader falls or a pastor falls, I feel that. That we have destroyed and we have pointed people in the wrong direction. Isn't that terrible? And that's a leadership, heaviness and weight that I feel, not in a negative way, but in an accountable way. We want to be accountable to each other. Let's get personal about that. Have I taken advantage? Have I pointed people? Have I wasted people's time? Have I lost trust because of something I want to benefit for myself, like King David is just taking, always taking, never giving? And I can just be really transparent. We're online. We'll be safe enough. We'll be careful. When I grew up as a teenager, I didn't have a dad in my life as a young teenager. I ran away from home to certain situations. I had nobody that cared for me. Nobody that loved me, nobody that tucked me in with my little blankie at night with my stuffy and said, I love you, good night. So I did stupid and foolish things. I looked to a woman, I thought, I just need some of my needs met. I need somebody to physically touch, I need somebody to say that they love me. And I misguided those young girls. And I feel, not terrible to this day because God has forgiven me and redeemed all that, I understand that. But those were foolish decisions that I made as a male, somebody in authority. I took advantage of the situation for my own benefit. Now, I hope I'm not alone in that. And you're like, Pastor, you're the only ding-dong in this room today. Like, come on. I'm not the only person that's made foolish decisions. That was before I knew Jesus. Let me just clarify that so we're all on the same page. Because the board members are looking at me going, you know. You don't put that kind of stuff on your resume when you're applying for a position. Now, this is just reality. So misusing authority, though, we lose credibility. We lose relationship. We lose integrity with people because of things that we do. And we become bullies. We become hypocrites. We become abusers of alcohol and drugs or womanizers. The thing that's the problem here is like, it's a crisis credibility that we're facing in this generation, in history. But the root cause of it is a misuse of power and authority. That's the problem. Being abusers and losing credibility is a symptom of a root cause of the misuse of power and authority because we lose credibility and we just think nobody's watching. That is foolish and that is terrible leadership, but we should never do that. It's like having an abscessed tooth. You gotta get it out. You gotta get rid of it. It's poisoning you and it's poisoning the people around you. We've gotta get clean and we've gotta get free. That's point number one. When we look at things for our own benefit. If I could look at point number two here, is when we overstep our boundary. We overstep what we're called to do. And so Saul here, if we were to just flip ahead just a tiny bit, let's go to, we're still in 1 Samuel chapter 13. We'll go ahead just a little bit here. Saul decides to act on his own. He doesn't wait for Samuel to do his part. He's like, I'm the king, and I will do everything. I will carry everything, and I will lead everything. So we see here in 1 Samuel 13, 13, you acted foolishly, Samuel said. You've not kept the command the Lord gave you. If you had, you would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now that you've overstepped your boundaries, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. We know who that is in future chapters. Different leaders will come and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. You've tried to do it your own way. You've not followed God's way. You've made your own decisions and you've tried to get ahead of God in a sense. You're like, God, I don't know where you are. I need to show up and do something about it. So what did he do? We're still in 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. What have you done, asked Samuel, Saul replied. When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at a certain time, that the Philistines were assembling in Michmash, I thought how the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and I will have not, listen to that word, man, that's just hard to read, isn't it? And I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I was compelled to offer burnt offerings. See, the king does not offer burnt offerings. That's the prophet's job, or we can even maybe even see the priest's job. That's like the work of the church. Samuel's the king, he's supposed to just, or Saul's the king, I apologize, he's just supposed to lead the people. That's his role. But he said, well, I'm just going to wear all the hats now. Give me this role and give me this role and give me that role. Have we ever done that in life? I don't know where God is in this situation. God, let me take your role and try and lead that way. And how foolish that can be. How terrible that turns out usually when we try and take the situation into our own hands. Because where is God in this situation? He's obviously sleeping on the job. I need to take the wheel. I need to take the... Man, that is just like... And that fires me up. And so I need to make sure that me, as the pastor, am living in my lane and where God's called me and to not try and live in somebody else's shoes or wear somebody else's hats. I hope that speaks to you as well. I feel called here. I've had to wear these other hats because it feels like nobody else will do the job. And I'm just challenging you. When we wear too many hats, what happens is it depletes and it saps all of our time and our energy. So when the thing that we're supposed to do, we come to that, we're exhausted. We have nothing to offer. That's terrible. I've done that in my life. I'll just be super transparent as always because it's just me. I'll just talk about me. I don't talk about you. I don't judge you. But for me, sometimes there's just days where it's like, oh my gosh, like just everything came at me all day long. And at the end of the day, I'm supposed to lead a Bible study. And I'm just goosed. Like I'm canned. And all of a sudden, like, okay, let's meet together and look at the Word of God. Man, I've spent too much time and wearing too many hats and trying to fix everybody else's problems and deal with everything else that now I don't have a lot of energy to share with the person that I'm interacting with. That's foolish leadership. That's foolish parenting. That's foolish whatever hat you want to live under. Expectations are not that. I put that on myself. If I could go as far as saying it like this as well. This is a little referral, a counseling referral information sheet. It's at the Welcome Center. Have them in my office. If you ever come and meet with Amelie and I, we will do our best to lead and guide you in spiritual matters, in marriage matters, and in life skill matters. I think we have a little bit to offer in that department. But I don't have letters after my name. Do you understand what this is? MACPRCCACS, Mike Christensen, great, great professional counselor. There are times when I have to refer people to, it would be foolish of me to think, well, I'm the pastor. You've come to see the great and mighty King Pastor Rob, who's going to fix all of your problems. He has, you know, a cows on a thousand hill. He'll pay all of your bills. He'll be able to counsel you through every situation that you ever face. That would actually be pretty foolish of me, wouldn't it be? And so if we can admit that, if I can admit that, can you admit that? That there are areas in your life, you're actually not an expert at parenting, you're not an expert at finances, you're not an expert in business or whatever it happens to be, but you can grow and learn and ask questions and you can pray to God to give you wisdom. But if we just kind of just run around just thinking like we are the be-all answer to every situation, that is not good leadership. And we can hurt people and point people in the wrong direction. Now be gentle when you think, Pastor, you have, you know, like, I love you and I hope you love me in return. I do my best, but I'm just trying to be honest with you here. This past week was so sweet. He'll probably be here in the second service, so we'll make sure we make mention of him a little bit later. But when you're a king in the Old Testament, there was a prophet that you worked with and there was a priest that you worked with. And I just love that. Just listen to that. Three people, the king, the prophet, and the priest. It's so scriptural. Every time three's a chord, three people working together in the Old Testament. But what happened here was Saul just said, I'm going to do it all myself. I'll be the prophet and the priest and everything else. I'll be the janitor too. Might as well just do everything because, you know, I'm the be-all, end-all. And so this past week was just a great example for me. So I had a meeting, a coffee meeting with somebody this past week. His name is Mitch. He's a great guy. He'll be here in the second service. And I said, Mitch, the situation's come up where I need a truck. And could you help me go and fix this situation with the truck? And we'll, instead of having coffee, we'll just drive together. Guys are actually really good at just driving together. We can talk really well. So I just was so grateful that this guy, Mitch, he just said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Let me run home. He unpacks his truck, comes back to the church so we can go do this thing that we had to do. Like, did you see it? Like, I can't fix that situation. I don't even have a truck. I did sell mine. That was a sad day. You know, it's the middle of the day. I'm not sure who else is available with a truck. But he just says, I can do that. And I was like, wow, look at that, how we can do things together. I don't have to carry all that by myself. You know, he's willing to, and he has a truck, so we're able to do it together. We're able to work together to fix the situation. Hello! We ask God, we need help. We need wisdom. Let's work together on this situation that we're facing. Let's go knock on some doors and ask other people that we know have wisdom in these areas so we can learn and grow together. Hello, yes, isn't that beautiful? We're not alone, we're not isolated. Sometimes we do feel alone, don't we? We feel like, I'm the only one here. Let me look at the third point here. Sometimes we can be careless in our leadership. And so again, in chapter 14, we're now in just a little bit here. Saul had gone out to battle. They had won the battle, and now they're kind of just like, taking the day off, not quite, but you know, the battle's been won, and then something is said here in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now the, oh, sorry, I apologize. 1 Samuel 14, I need to tell you, verse 24. Now the men of Israel were in distress that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself of my enemies. So none of the troops tasted food. Now, you've got an army. There isn't like, you know, when you get your phone out and you get an emergency, and it's just kind of like just checking to make sure it's actually all working so we could all get some information if we ever needed that one day. Well, they didn't have that back then. It's a big army and they're very spread out. Get the word out, you're not supposed to eat food. Can you ask the other guy to do that? Like, that's a big call. How are you going to get the word out to everybody? Not everybody gets that word that they're not supposed to eat food. So his son, Saul's son Jonathan, doesn't get the word. And they're walking around and they see just a big old pile of honey. Oh, sweet Jesus, this must be an answer from heaven. This has got to be the manna after this battle's been won. We're like, we get to just enjoy sweet honey. So Jonathan begins to enjoy it. Some of the soldiers see Saul's son Jonathan. What are you doing, mate? Didn't you hear your dad say, don't eat of anything? You're going to curse us. We're hooped. What's going on? And listen to Jonathan's response to his dad's vow of don't eat food. So 1 Samuel 14:29 and 30. Jonathan said, my father has made trouble for our country. See how my eyes were brightened when I tasted a little honey. Here, just a spoon of honey. Oh, man. Like, they're going to be serving honey at the Last Supper, in the heaven, for sure. You just know that. Verse 30, how much better it would have been if the men had already eaten today some of the plunder that they took from their enemies. Would not the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater? Can't we just enjoy some of the plunder now? Like, we just fought a battle. We're exhausted. Could we just a little bit of replenishment? And Saul, using his authority in a careless way, makes a vow and saying, you will not eat until tonight. All of you just suck it up. We're going to fast all day for that win. Like, God didn't tell him to do that. He just took that on himself. And it really hindered people, and it hurt people, and it actually destroyed people and put them in the wrong frame of mind. So much so that they were just so hurting for food. You know somebody's going to sneak something. Like, this is just the Bible. Every time, don't do that, don't this. And somebody's like, hopefully nobody noticed that money go missing, right? Like, what is going on here in the Bible? In verse 31 of 1 Samuel chapter 14, we would read this. That day, after the Israelites had struck down the Philistines from Michmash all the way to Eliajon, they were exhausted. They pounced on this plunder like savages, like grabbing the sheep and cattle and strangling their neck. And they butchered them on the ground and they ate them together with the blood because they didn't hang it up and let it bleed out. They were just so hungry, just kind of went after it. It's like sushi or something, I don't know. And someone said to Saul, look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating the meat that has blood in it. Because the practice for these people in the Old Testament were like, you had to drain the blood. You were not to eat the blood. But they were just so hungry that, because of this expectation the king had put on them, they just went crazy. And then they were sinning against the Lord. You know, we put expectations upon ourselves. Such a heavy burden, we do that to ourselves so often. And when we fall into sin, we're like, I'm so miserable, I'm so terrible. And we judge ourselves. We put that, God's like, I never put that on you. You put that on yourself, or somebody else put that on you. A bad leader put something on you that you're not supposed to come under or yoke yourself to. That's poor leadership. We are to lead well. We are to be led well. We are to listen to the word of God. But often we put, again, obstacles in people's way. I want to say a few things, and just please hear me out until I'm finished, because sometimes I don't want you to jump to any conclusions, but I will never, and I'll be pretty strong here, talk about certain political parties or certain countries you should support in a war, or like, it would be foolish of me to say, you know what, God's on this side or in that party. That would be misuse of power and authority. I hope over the seven, almost, we're moving closer to 8 years now, that you have gained trust and integrity, not with me, but with this church. That's why you keep coming back here, because we don't lead you or mislead you or misguide you. I'm here to do certain things, and it's definitely not to land on a political bandwagon or something. That's why when you come here, you don't hear that from the pulpit for many reasons. How could I ever say that I think God is in this certain situation and not in the other situation? Do I really know that with certainty? What happens if I get it wrong? Do you trust this church? Do you trust this platform anymore? That would be a misuse of authority, a misuse of my credibility with you to try and lead you like that. So I say that with great conviction. I've got two slides here this morning because photos are really important. While Almy and I were away in Calgary at our marriage leadership retreat, they shared this painting with us, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. And so it shows of a pastor preaching, and it would show, you know, the pastors that have gone before him, the leaders that have gone before him, and even heaven just kind of supporting the word of God as it's being ministered to. So when I get up here and speak, or anybody gets up here and speaks from this pulpit after 91 years of history, there is a lot of accountability here, isn't there? This is not my pulpit. This is the Lord's pulpit. And what gets preached from this pulpit is going to be the word of God and the word of God only. Okay. Thank you. I was like waiting for this roar from heaven, like hallelujah. Please don't preach anything other than that. Can I just share another slide here? Almy and I were hired, our family was hired here in 2018, and we are the 18th pastor. And just so you know, Young, that's actually my last name. We just went with last names because that's just the way it was written. Just so you know, like, who was that guy? You know, like, that's Pastor Rob. I know Pastor Rob Young. That's me, so 18. So you can see the history here in our church. Like, we have a rich history. And how dare I ever lead it in a way that would misguide our church or misrepresent the Lord? Look at the accountability. Look at the rich history. When you come here, you just know, like, God is on the throne and God is on the move, and we're going to hear from the word of God this morning when we gather. And we're going to continue to point people towards Jesus in Jesus' name. It would be foolish again of me to do anything else. You know, what is my calling? My calling is to preach the word. My calling is to help make disciples, and my calling is to baptize. That's one of my three major lanes. Now, I will clean a toilet, and I will straighten up chairs, and I will do these other things, but my major calling is that. And I brought this a little for fun here. I was practicing this morning a little bit. So if my calling is to preach the word, and it's to get people baptized, and it's to make disciples, I can usually do that pretty well. Let's see how well we can do it this morning. I'm on camera. I'm sweating bullets already. I haven't tried yet. Let's see how well I can do this. I used to be able to do it like pretty well here. So piece of cake. Now, add a fourth one to that. You know, I'm called to preach the word. I'm called to get people baptized. I'm called to make disciples. And I'm called to worship, like be the worship leader here. Please don't ever let me do that. Please mute the microphone if I ever do that. I'm also called to make all the food for Alpha. Like, I can't juggle four. I don't want to do it because I'd squish these beautiful, yummy oranges that are for the green room, so for the worship team after. I can't do that. I can juggle three very well. I can handle three. You know, okay, you know, I know I'm learning as a pastor still. But when I try and add too much to my life, what happens? Everything I'm called to falls to the ground. I don't know what your purpose and what your calling is in life. Some of us have been called to parent children. You know, when I left the hospital and they asked me all these questions, do you have a support system? You got, you know, people around you. You know, is this baby, like, is this, are your family supporting you? And do you have some help? And da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, okay, great. But they don't ask the question, like, do you know how to be a dad? I drove slow that day from the hospital. It's funny, like, Almy's pregnant and we're going to the hospital. I'm driving fast, man. But as soon as baby's out, I'm like, hey, what's your going, you idiot? You know, you're like on edge when you're driving a vehicle with the baby in the car seat, right? You just drive a little differently. How did I learn to be a good father? Being transparent here, right? The experiences that I had with my earthly fathers, no judgment on them. They tried. You know, I had a really good stepdad. His name is Wilf Young, so I got the last name Young. He's in Prince Rupert. He's a great guy. But most of my experiences were not healthy experiences of fathering and parenting. So how can I become a good father? I know my heavenly Father who deposits good things inside of me. And I can look to others where they've been obedient to the calling and followed the Lord's direction as a good father. I want to learn and glean from you as fathers. That's how we become good fathers. It would be so foolish of me to just go, well, I have four kids. I know how to parent kids. Like, that doesn't equal that. You have to ask questions. You have to make space in your life to learn and to grow and to understand our roles and to live in that lane and that lane alone. If we try and wear too many hats, we're like, we're just thin as ice about everything. But what are we really deep on? I want to be deep in the Word. I want to be rooted and grounded in Jesus. And as I do that, I will become a better father and a better husband as I do those kinds of things. Again, if I try and do it on my own or just, you know, make it up or wing it as I go or be careless and want my own benefit, there's no fruit in that. There's nothing lasting. And so I challenge myself with that. How well do you lead? How well do you parent? How well do you direct? How well do you even manage a store? How well do you, whatever your role is, whatever hat you wear, do it well and don't wear anybody else's hat. And continue to grow and to learn. You haven't figured it all out. I haven't figured it all. I'm not the greatest of pastor. I have tons to learn. But let's grow and learn together this year. Let's keep leaning in. Bring your Bible every week. I want to encourage you to do that every single week. Put your little, you know, your little string and go, that's where we heard the message this week. And in a very few weeks, we're going to have a couple bookmarks, a church bookmark. You know, stick it right in there. And then midweek, you'll be able to like open up. Man, on Sunday, that spoke to me. I want to read it again. I want to do my devotions with it. I just want to really strongly encourage you to do that. This is where we're going to find help. This is where we're not going to mislead people, because this is the truth. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, what a joy it is just to be together. What an absolute privilege it is to have the Word of God. We can just hold it. There are so many people in the world that just don't even have that privilege to just hold the Word of God and be able to open it up. So God, we don't take that lightly. We don't take that for granted. God, we just, oh man, we're so thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, help us to do better today than we did yesterday. We came here to your house to glean from one another, to encourage one another, to bless one another, to help each other up when we're down, to speak into each other's lives. God, wow, what an exciting morning it is to be together, to do these kind of things. So, Father, as we go our separate ways today, we thank you that we're not alone. You haven't left us. You will go with us. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're inside of us. You will help us. Lord, as we make foolish decisions, as we go in the wrong direction, would you, as you always do, gently correct us. Bring us back into the fold. Bring us back into alignment with you and your word. God, thank you that your word has the power and authority to change me from the inside out. Thank you that it has the power and authority to renew my thinking. God, we love you and we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.